All right, City Limits, let's go to what is rapidly becoming one of our favorite times of the week, Nick Kostos. He's on the line. He's the host of You Better You Bet, an Odyssey Sports Betting Insider. Insider calls presented by BetMGM. Go check out all the latest lines today on the BetMGM app. Also, be sure to listen to the You Better You Bet podcast for more analysis. Just search You Better You Bet wherever you find your podcasts. Nick is on the Sullivan Super Service Fan Hotline, Pittsburgh's trusted HVAC and plumbing provider for over 50 years. Nick, I'm trusting that you're well. We have a big game. Both teams trying to go to 3-0. Chargers at Steelers. How do you expect this game to play out? What are your thoughts on this one?
Well, Joe, thanks for having me. I think such an evenly matched game. And Joe, the point spread tells you that Pittsburgh gets a pretty healthy home field advantage. Obviously, like the crowd in Pittsburgh is great, and Pittsburgh Steelers fans travel everywhere. So you have the Steelers as a 1.5-point favor right now. And basically what that means is the betting market views these two teams as basically being identical. Like they're basically the same. It makes it a difficult game to predict. Now, I will say, if I knew for sure that Justin Herbert were fully healthy, the Chargers starting quarterback, I think this becomes an easy bet for me, at least, on the Chargers. And that's not meant to be an anti-Steelers take, but in a game where we know both teams want to play defense, both teams want to run the football, out of the two Justins, and Justin Fields has been good to start the season, hasn't turned it over, I don't know how you can take Justin Fields over Justin Herbert, but Herbert's obviously dealing with an ankle injury. He's going to play in this game. He practiced yesterday on Thursday in a limited fashion, but that ankle was heavily taped. I lean towards the Chargers, but there's a chance like this game starts and like Herbert can't move. And if he has to be replaced in this game, Easton Stick is the backup. He's brutal. And I think the Steelers would be very likely to win. So like game starts, Herbert looks good. I think the Chargers will win. If Herbert can't move, I would like the Steelers. And I'll give you one prop thought if you'll allow me.
Please.
For the Steelers in this game. So I do play a ton of fantasy football and a ton of best ball, season-long fantasy football, and I'm in a couple leagues with people where they are starting to panic on George Pickens because of what happened last week against the Denver Broncos. Like not a great stat line in the box score for George Pickens against Patrick Surtain in Denver last weekend. But if you watch the game, and I know Steelers fans obviously did watch the game, that could have been a huge game for Pickens. Had a touchdown called back on an offensive penalty. Multiple pass interference calls from Patrick Surtain on George Pickens. So not only am I not worried about George Pickens, I think he's basically matchup proof. His receiving yards prop this week at BetMGM against the Chargers is 44.5. Mm. I think that's insulting to George Pickens, even in a low volume passing offense. So give me the over on George Pickens, 44.5 receiving yards. And again, I'll take the Chargers if you maybe pick the winner of the game begrudgingly.
Man, Pickens might get that on one play. I can't believe, Nick, that there's a person named Easton Stick. What would the line be if he was declared the starter? How far would it go up for the Steelers?
I think you might. It's a really great question. You might see Pittsburgh trying to think, like, would it be 7 or not is the question.
Wow.
Would Pittsburgh be a 7-point favorite? Maybe not, because Pittsburgh plays such, like, low-event games, and that's what the Chargers want to do also. Both teams want to run the ball, get a win, and get out of Dodge. That's not the BCS. They're not looking to win this game by margin. Flashy offensive statistics. I guess the right number is 7, because I think if it were below 7, like the Chargers wouldn't score in the game if Easton Stick were the quarterback.
Yes.
Then it's just like, how many points do you think the Steelers will score? I think it would have to be at least a touchdown.
Yes. Going up against a stick figure, you better win by at least a touchdown, Nick. There's a lot of great storylines this week. Fascinating stuff. Let's just take a little trip around the league in our allotted time. Let's start with Baltimore at Dallas. The Ravens reeling right now. You can't go 0-3, can you?
Oh, I will just add, just on the Chargers game, I guess like Taylor Heinicke is there also. They traded for him at the end of training.
Yeah.
It's possible Heinicke would play, but I mean, both of those guys would be in contention to come in and play. Either way, like the Steelers would be a monster favorite in the game against either one of those quarterbacks. As far as the Ravens and Cowboys go, I don't think Baltimore will go to 0-3. And I look at both teams, the Ravens and Cowboys, and what they've done through the first 2 weeks. And, you know, Dallas beats Cleveland in week one. But the final score, I think, is not indicative of the game that was actually played on the field. Cleveland was also down 2 starting offensive linemen in that game, both offensive tackles. So, you know, I don't know how impressive a win that actually is for Dallas in retrospect. And then they get the doors blown off them last week at home. by Derek Carr and the New Orleans Saints. Now, compare and contrast with Baltimore. Bad loss last week to the Raiders. We bet the Raiders in that game. But Baltimore definitely should have won that game. Kept it really close against the Chiefs in week one. I think the Ravens are better than Dallas. The betting market says right now Baltimore is a road favorite in this game. The implication is that Baltimore is a good amount better than Dallas. Mm. It's not one of my favorite bets of the week, Joe, but I would take the Baltimore Ravens if I had to bet the game.
Man, that one. That's a tough place to go. I don't trust the Cowboys. Nobody trusts the Cowboys. But on a given week in the regular season, they've got the kind. Of course, they could win at home, and Baltimore would be 0-3. Okay, let's go to Cincy then. They're not going to go 0-3 at home against Washington. Of course, I was saying the same thing. How could they lose to New England at home? That's an automatic win. What's up with the Bengals?
Yeah, I think they should have won last week against the Kansas City Chiefs. Like, that's a really, like, unlucky loss for Cincinnati. I mean, we all watched that game in the 4 o'clock Eastern time window. Like, bad result for Cincinnati. And I think, Joe, the thought is, since he's just going to bounce back and, like, roll out of bed and win this game by margin, and while it's possible that could happen, right? Like, I'll always stop short of saying anything's a guarantee. Like, anything can happen once the game starts. If the point spread, Joe, is going to be above 7, and right now on Monday Night Football, doubleheader on Monday night, this is the second of the two, you have Cincy as a 7.5-point favorite. I actually like Washington to cover the spread in this game at more than a touchdown. Very quietly, Washington's offense has not been terrible to start the season with the rookie second overall pick in the draft, Jaden Daniels. And Cincinnati's defense is, like, we like the offense. We're focused on Burrow and Chase and Higgins. I don't think this defense is very good. I think Washington can absolutely score on them to keep up. Now, I do think Cincy will win and improve to 1-2, but I did bet the Commanders here, Joe. If anyone out there agrees and you want to bet Washington, please do not bet +7. Try to get +7.5 if you like Washington. Then you would win if the Cincinnati Bengals win the game by 7.
Quick aside here on a game, and we're talking to Nick Kostos, a game that just happened. Man, I don't care who he was playing. That looked like Aaron Rodgers. I consider the Jets, if Rodgers stays healthy, a playoff lock. Do you agree?
Yeah, I'll actually take it a step further, Joe. I said this before the season, and I live in New York. I grew up here, and I got a lot of pushback from people locally. Like, how could you say this? I think the Jets, and you can make a case it's Houston also, like the Texans, if CJ Stroud can kind of like reach his potential. I actually think the Jets are the most likely team to knock off the Chiefs in the AFC playoffs this year. If Rodgers is going to look like that, like he did last night, but it was like a turn back the clock performance. He was excellent, obviously. Their roster's really good. Like, the offensive line is 50 times better than it was last year. Obviously, they've got studs all over the defense. Hassan Reddick hasn't even reported yet. I think the Jets' ultimate upside this year, I won't predict it to happen, Joe, because I'll still take Kansas City. Their ultimate upside is to win the Super Bowl, to win the Lombardi Trophy. And I said this prior to the game this week. I like betting on the Jets to win the AFC East now. Cupcake schedule coming up, and then they host the Bills coming up about a month from now. And they win that game, and they will unquestionably be the favorites in that division.
What part of New York are you from, Nick?
I grew up in Queens. Mm. I went to high school on Long Island. I went to college in the Bronx, and I currently live on Staten Island because where my wife is from and her family's from. So I'm stuck on Staten Island for now.
Holy bird milk. My first roommate at Cortland was from Staten Island. My brother Johnny lived in Queens. I was born in Northport, Long Island, which city limits here didn't know. My dad's from Brooklyn, and we went to Riverhead every summer to the beach.
Where, what hospital were you born at?
I don't remember. I don't know.
Well, I thought maybe we were both born at North Shore. So
no, we might. I'll ask my mom about that. North Shore Hospital. We'll do that. City limits. This is interesting, isn't it?
All new information to me.
It really is. All right, Nick, let's move along here. The New Orleans Saints. What are we doing here? Are they actually good? Is Derek Carr good? Are they going to beat the Eagles? Is that offense going to keep rolling?
What I'm going to offer you now, it's a total guess. And I think everyone's guessing right now, including the betting market. And Joe, I would encourage all the listeners to think about this also, right? We all watch football, and every year there's always a team or teams early in the season. And I think you could say this negatively also, a team negatively, like going below expectations. But there's usually at least one team that like wildly exceeds expectations to start the year. This year it's the Saints. And the betting market kind of like doesn't know what to do with them. There is a chance that we watch this game on Sunday, right? With the Saints hosting the Eagles likely to be without star receiver A.J. Brown, bad secondary, no pass rush, and the Saints blow the doors off the Eagles, and we say, wow, like, remember when the Saints were only a 2.5-point favorite at home against Philadelphia? Mm. We're way wrong on that. They should have been a bigger favorite. But I think the thing that's tripping up people that bet, right, like sharp bettors, people that bet a lot of money, is what if that's not true? So every time, Joe, the point spread of this game hits 3, New Orleans a 3-point favorite. And you don't have to be like a sharp bettor or whatever in the weeds on this stuff to know 3 is the most important number in the NFL. Think about how scoring works, right? So 3 is, from the betting perspective, the most important number. Every time the point spread goes up to New Orleans minus 3, people bet Philadelphia and it gets knocked back down off of 3 down to 2.5. And that's my expectation as to where we'll go. I think if you're betting the Eagles, you're guessing. And if you're betting the Saints, you're guessing. Now, that's okay. Like, we can bet to have fun, and that's all right. My guess is that the Saints win this game by margin. And, Joe, if people want to bet this game and you like New Orleans, my advice would be bet an alternate spread. These are all offered at domestic sports books where you can, like, make the spread bigger and you get a bigger payout. I would lay New Orleans to win the game by 7 points, like minus 9.5 for them to win by 10. I think if they win this game, they might win going away.
Down to the 2-minute drill here with Nick Kostos, Odyssey Sports Betting Insider. Vegas seems to not yet believe in Sam Darnold. Is that the case? Or do they just believe more and way more in CJ Stroud on the road? You have Houston favored by 2 at Minnesota. I like Kevin O'Connell. I think I like Sam Darnold, and my friend here, City Limits, loves Sam Darnold. What say you?
Yeah, I actually think this is a healthy amount of respect for Sam Darnold. Texans rated as one of the best teams in the league. And it's basically, in a game with a decently high total, this is basically like pick the winner of the game. Like, it's unlikely to end Houston wins the game by 1. So if you're betting Minnesota, you are betting the Vikings because you think they can win this game. And I would push back a little bit, and I don't want to turn this into an anti-Sam Darnold thing. It's much, much less anti-Sam Darnold as it is pro-CJ Stroud and the Houston Texans. Like, Stroud is that guy. He just is. Like, he's probably the next great quarterback. He's unbelievable. The Texans roster, top to bottom, is better than Minnesota's. Joe, one thing I will agree with you on, KOC is an unbelievable coach. I think he should be the favorite to win coach of the year right now in that betting market. He's not. Jim Harbaugh is. So I love Kevin O'Connell, but I think the talent disparity is too wide here. I'll take the Houston Texans to win and cover Sunday in Minnesota.
Lastly, Nick, I have a little upset special brewing here. I think the Steelers caught Kirk Cousins at a very good time in week 1, coming off a long-term layoff. I actually think they're going to be a good offense. I think they're going to cover and win outright against the Chiefs, who are a 3-point road favorite. You?
I agree. I don't know if the Falcons will win. I bet them plus 3.5. So we do this interview on Friday, right? And the betting markets are open all week. My advice to people now would be, if you agree with Joe and you agree with me that Atlanta is going to be live in this game, like, wait to see if you can bet plus 3.5. It is a much better bet than plus 3. At 3, I guess, like, I would still like, I like Atlanta a little bit, but I think Chiefs winning by 3 is a really likely outcome here, which is why I wanted the plus 3.5. And Joe, I'll give you like 20 seconds quickly on how I see Kansas City moving forward this season.
Yeah.
The team that they are the most likely team to win the Super Bowl. They are my pick before the season to win. I think Mahomes is still the most likely player to win MVP. But we did see this last year with Kansas City, the offense struggling, like, to win games by margin, to cover big numbers. Isaiah Pacheco, their starting running back, is out at least 6 to 8 weeks. Andy Reid said this, alluded that it might be the whole year. Hollywood Brown is on IR. Xavier Worthy did nothing last week against Cincinnati. There's a chance that this Chiefs offense is going to sputter a little bit moving forward. And my concern is not that they can't win games, but can they win games by enough margin to cover bets like this, like to cover a 3.5-point spread? So Atlanta plus 3.5, Joe, is a bet for me on Sunday night.
Nick, great stuff as always. I've put out the question as to where I was born. Is it North Shore Hospital in Northport?
North Shore is in Manhasset.
Close enough, though. Yeah, close enough. I'm checking on that right now. We'll get back to it next week.
Looking forward to it.
Thank you, sir.
You got it.
That guy's incredible. The energy there. Right, Limits?
Yeah, I was just saying goodbye to him. Yeah, he's one of my favorites. He talks a mile a minute.
He is amazing. I think he's great. I can't believe we signed him as a free agent.
Is it as good as a deal as Patrick Queen?
So far, it's better.
Yeah.
I think. That was the host of You Better You Bet and Odyssey Sports Betting Insider, Nick Kostos. Insider calls presented by BetMGM. Go check out all the latest lines today on the BetMGM app. I bet. Trying for a way to finagle a golf round after the show.
Not surprised.
Sir, there needs to be an approach using finesse with my wife, or I need to barter for it. Like, I'll do something over the weekend, you know, I don't know, cleaning something, or you know what I mean, a trade of sorts. A golf round now for a player to be named later. You know what I mean?
Who are you bargaining with?
My wife.
Your wife.
Yes.
Okay.
Kids need to be picked up. Things need to be done. I'm the lazy one. I just want to go play golf.
You do just want to play golf. We talked about your golf addiction before.
She's right. And it's true. I am the lazy one. And all I want to do is play golf. So how do I do it? We'll see. We'll see if this comes to fruition. 50-minute mark on the Fan, brought to you by South Hills Chrysler Jeep Dodge, Route 19, Peters Township, celebrating 50 years in the South Hills. Without further ado, I give the floor to my friend, City Limits.
It's the Bechtel Breakdown for Friday, September 20th, 2024. Here we go. Joe, we're one day away from the 21st night of September, one of my favorite songs. September, the 21st night of September. That has nothing to do with how we're starting off the breakdown.
Yes.
But just thought I'd point it out there anyway.
Thank you.
Doesn't look like Paul Skenes will make his final start as a member of the Pirates at home this season. Skenes is scheduled to pitch Sunday in Cincinnati against the Reds, so it doesn't look like he'll be pitching against Milwaukee at home. We've seen the last of Skenes at PNC Park this season.
Wait a second, make you sad?
Yeah,
it makes me very sad. The question is, does it make sense? Well, what are we looking at here?
I'm looking at MLB.com.
I know you are. I mean, I didn't mean that. I mean, with the situation, not literally what you're looking at. Does this make sense to you? Is it on the normal rest that he's pitching?
Yes, but if I were them, I'd bump him back to Tuesday and try to get one more gate for a home game.
So would I. It doesn't make sense.
Neither has a lot of things that they've
done. Push him back to Tuesday, then you have Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday. Well, yeah, then he'd be done.
I wanted to get two minor baseball points in. It was that one, and how about Brett Rooker?
Let me take that back.
Okay.
Let me take that back. He might need these starts to win Rookie of the Year. So they want to give him every chance possible. Plus, I'm sure he wants to pitch at Yankee Stadium.
And I don't know
that you get that.
I think Saturday or Sunday it would be.
Yeah.
Probably next Saturday.
And they're in. It's okay. It's okay. I forgive them for that, and it makes sense. They're doing right by Skenes.
And the other point I wanted to talk about baseball-wise before we get to football is Brent Rooker. Joe, should the Pirates have just traded for Brent Rooker? 304 average, 38 home runs, 111 RBIs.
Yeah, he was the guy.
I mean, what a season.
The thing that they were unwilling to do was to give up any even remotely prime prospect at the deadline. I wrote that he was the guy. I said that he was the guy. He was said to be available. The A's stink. He's a late bloomer. He's almost 30. Is he 30 years old yet?
29.
And you could have given them something that they can use for their future. And he signed, by the way. Yeah, that just makes me sick, actually.
All right, let's run down the NFL slate. Philadelphia and New Orleans.
Mm-hmm.
Man, Philadelphia last week, they were one play away from 2-0. Saquon Barkley catches the football. It was a highly debated topic all week. Do you think Nick Sirianni should have just called a run and churn out the clock a little bit? Or do you think Saquon Barkley just needs to catch the football and the defense has to get off the damn field?
I think that Nick Sirianni should have gone for it on fourth down. I think they should have run two tush pushes on third and three, and the game would have been over. But let's not blame Nick Sirianni over Saquon. Come on, he got to catch that ball. The game's over. What are we doing here?
Even if he goes out of bounds, the first down, it's over.
I'm curious about the Saints. So is Nick Kostos. They're fun to watch.
2.5-point favorites at home.
I have a soft spot for the Saints ever since I was a kid. I love their uniforms. I love their sordid history. They've been horrible for most of their existence. They're fun. I like the Saints. I want them to do well.
I was a big Drew Brees fan. Green Bay, Tennessee. There's a chance Jordan Love comes back and plays in this game, Joe.
There's also a chance Mason Rudolph comes in for Levis and Butthead. That's Titans. What I want to see. I want to see Mason Rudolph play. And then we'll have stories every week. It's wonderful.
Titans are 3-point favorites in this game.
against who?
It's the Malik Willis Bowl.
Oh, it is the Malik Willis Bowl. Wait, what are the chances that Jordan Love plays?
Probably 50-50 at this point.
I picked Jordan Love to win MVP, which I'm looking horrible on.
I did as well.
I hope that he plays and plays well, just for my own sake, so that I look smarter than I really am.
I think Green Bay wins if Malik Willis plays or not plays, and Jordan Love ends up playing. Tennessee is that bad. Mason Rudolph will play by week six. The Giants and the Browns, Cleveland favored by 6.5 at home against New York. Are the Giants the worst team in all of football?
If they are, and I'd hate to see the one that is, yes, they stink. And they could go 0-16, don't you agree?
No, because they'd have to go 0-17. And maybe they could.
That was an unnecessary shot at me.
I know. I don't think they'll go 0-17.
No, I like that. And I like that you took a shot at me. It spices things up. I don't know, man. If you had a game Giants against the Panthers, I think that would be one hell of a ball game. Don't you? And I think Sean Payton's Broncos might have something to say about this.
Well, guess what? You're getting that game. Giants-Panthers. It's a 9:30 kickoff, Joe. And we're spreading the game around. We're spreading the game across the country because this is what we want the whole country to see. Giants-Panthers in Germany.
Why are we doing that?
We're punishing the Germans.
To that country. I mean, that's the last. If the idea is to entice people into watching the NFL, there's nobody in that country that will ever watch this sport again.
Do you ever hear the notion, it's so bad, it's good?
We might be looking at a Daniel Jones, Andy Dalton
the Red Rifle
matchup.
The
oh,
Red Rifle.
Oh, my God.
It's known by some as the beige water pistol. That's what Colin Cowherd calls him, the beige water pistol.
That's unnecessary. Well, they should move the game back here. They should call Germany.
I don't think it works that way.
What does Germany have? I don't know who their leader is. Roger Goodell should say, we apologize. We're not going to do that to you. We'll put the game in Carolina or New York. Don't worry. Next.
Miami and Seattle is a game that intrigues me. Because it's Geno Smith against Skylar Thompson. Miami is going to bottom out, Joe. I mean, the sky is going to fall in Miami. I think Tyreek Hill and Jalen Waddle are just not going to get the targets that they need with Skylar Thompson.
Why are you asking me about extremely obscure NFL games? What is going on here?
I could ask you about other games
Miami,
and go to other topics that I have.
Every game is interesting to some degree. I just wonder what is happening here. This game stinks. Do you think the Seahawks are for real?
No. No, I don't.
I like Geno Smith. He's a great comeback story. He's an inspiration to all of us, especially quarterbacks like Sam Darnold, who have second and third acts. I do like that. So, I was just curious. I didn't mean to insult you in the slightest.
Let's go to less. I just thought we wanted to do a rundown of football.
I'm enjoying it.
Some other non-obscure games. Jacksonville, Buffalo. Bills 5-point favorites Monday night. Two games on Monday.
I'm going to tell you this, that Trevor Lawrence and the Jags are a huge disappointment to me.
This could be the knockout punch for the Jaguars this season if they lose to Buffalo.
They got to go at Houston the week after that.
Yep.
They're staring hard at 0-4. Now, they do have home games against Indy, Chicago, New England, and Green Bay. They're a team now that why do they have two 9:30 a.m. games in a row limits?
They play in London.
Twice?
Yes. That's their home away from home.
They should just become the London Jaguars.
They should.
I mean, send them over there.
The Kahn family likes playing over there.
Trevor Lawrence stinks.
They play the Bears and the Patriots. We love growing the game globally.
Yeah, what are we doing internationally here? We're ruining the game internationally.
The Jaguars play a game or two in London every year, so they got to play the awful New England Patriots, who sure beat Cincinnati, Caleb Williams, who hasn't thrown a touchdown yet, and the Bears, and then it's the Super Bowl, the lowlights between the Giants and the Panthers.
By the way, the sport stinks right now. People talking about all the field goals and the running game. The games that I've tuned into, a lot of them have just been brutally hard to watch. Look at the scores for the Jags so far. They go into Miami 20-17, then they play Cleveland 18-13. That's the crap that we're watching. But if I was going to pick a most disappointing player now over the past couple years, it's Trevor Lawrence. I thought this dude was going to be an MVP candidate. I thought him and Doug Peterson were a great marriage. And I'm really, really disappointed in what I'm seeing. Not only they got at Buffalo, at Houston, then the nice stretch I talked about, but then they have at Philly, Minnesota, at Detroit, Houston again, at Vegas, home against Aaron Rodgers. I don't think they're a playoff team. And then you start talking about Doug Peterson. What do you do with him?
Gone.
He looks like Vince Lombardi compared to Urban Meyer.
So here's the question.
But it's not good enough.
Could Bill Belichick factor into the Jaguars next year?
Ooh. Great question.
Where will Bill Belichick be next year? Because I know it's only week two.
Does Bill Belichick really want to do this? Does he really? He seems to be having a very nice time since he left the NFL. I think he broke up with his girlfriend, the one that was 80 years younger than him.
Yeah, she was too young, I guess.
But now he's on TV. He seems happy. It's a completely different personality. He's fun to watch. Does he want to go back? He should go out on a boat with Jimmy Johnson. There's one of those 30 for 30s. About Jimmy Johnson, one of the scenes is him and Belichick out on a boat where Johnson is saying, I had to get out of the game. I mean, I couldn't do it. Jimmy Johnson was the inspiration for Ron Cook getting out of radio, and I'm not kidding. Ron read Jimmy Johnson's book where he talked about QTL, quality time left. And Jimmy Johnson said to himself, after a very hard home life where he wasn't never home, he was never home, I should say, and his sons ran into some trouble, I believe, as the story goes, and he felt like, you know, I got to get things together here. What is my quality time left? I'm going to move to Florida and basically live on a boat and have people like Bill Belichick visit me on my boat.
Soak up the sun.
And Ron Cook read that book and thought to himself, what am I doing? I spend every day with Joe Starkey in a studio. And he disagrees with me on everything. I'm going to go drink in Florida for the rest of my life. And that's what he's done. I'm serious about that. He read Johnson's book and he used that phrase QTL. Point being that if you're Belichick, what are you doing? You want to go back to that? Seriously? To trying to run an entire organization? You know you're going to try to do that more than just coach. And put yourself through that again. Go enjoy the rest of your life, Bill. You're 72. Go drink somewhere. Go visit Ron in Fort Myers. Go visit Jimmy Johnson, wherever he lives. But you know what? I think he's probably an addict, like a lot of coaches. And that's probably all he's thinking about, is redeeming himself. And Jacksonville might not be a bad place, except when he finally gets there and realizes that Trevor Lawrence stinks. Your thoughts?
Yeah, if I'm Belichick, I feel like he is just, he's so consumed by football. It is his life. And it doesn't seem like there are many other things that Bill Belichick does outside of football. I mean, what does he do immediately? He takes a year off, then he goes on inside the NFL.
Yeah, he looks happy.
And he looks content. He looks very pleased with what he's doing. But does he want to go back to coaching? I think so, because I think he wants to break Shula's record. And that is significant in his mind.
Yeah. You're
and that's
right.
Why he would do it. And I think that means more for his legacy than having quality time off. He might think that quality time off is right now while he's studying and trying to figure out the best situation to come back into the NFL.
Next.
Two more. So you know how there was a fake Mackey account, the fake Mackey Planner Twitter account earlier this year that was talking about different trades that were going down?
No, I did not know that.
Yes, there was a fake Mackey Twitter account that would surface.
Jason Mackey?
Jason Mackey.
I didn't know that.
Jason Mackey Planner.
Yeah.
There was a fake Athletic account last night that tweeted, breaking, Memphis, South Florida, Tulane, and UTSA are all expected to leave the American and join the Pac-12 starting in 2026, 2027. It's not true. People like our own Carlos Ofko on the high school football coverage got duped by it.
Oh, no. That's like when Ron got, oh, my God.
Do you remember that?
Look at the Pac-12 conference. I was just going to joke that it's the Pac-2. It is.
No, it's the Pac-6 now.
I'm looking on ESPN right now. They have all the conference standings. It says Pac-12, Washington State, and Oregon State.
Yeah.
There's only two.
In a couple of years, more teams are joining in.
I know, but what are those two going to do? Play each other six times, and then the winner goes to the playoff? What is happening with the Pac?
They're playing more of like an independent schedule, I think. I don't know. Let's look up. What's the Oregon State?
Washington State is 3-0, I might add.
Oregon State is 2-1. They played Oregon, San Diego State and Purdue so far.
It feels very sad, but does one of them have a chance to go to the playoff?
They're playing Mountain West teams. They're playing Colorado State, Nevada, UNLV. They're playing Cal, San Jose State, Air Force. They're playing Washington State, and they're playing Boise State. So I guess the Washington State game right after Thanksgiving, that's the conference championship game in the Pac-12. Will those two play again at an undisclosed location a couple weeks later?
Man, I sure hope so. Now I'm looking at the ACC. Syracuse 2-0, Cal 2-0, Duke 3-0, Miami 3-0, North Carolina 3-0, Pitt 2-0, Louisville 2-0. There's a lot happening here.
Yeah, but who's played anybody?
I say, yes, that, right. Which is why I say let's hold off a little bit on Pitt here. Let's wait till they play some games in their conference. I'll tell you this, though. I love Eli Holstein.
I do as well.
What a great personality.
Great find.
The way he was talking about the volleyball match the other day, he's like, they're the best team on campus. That's what we want to be. The passion that he plays with. This guy's going to become a legend in short order if this keeps up. Anything else, Limits?
The Warriors have signed former Pitt legend Blake Hinson to an Exhibit 10 deal. Your Golden State Warriors, Joe. That was one of the games that I was alluding to. I couldn't remember how many points he scored. He scored 41 against Louisville at a home game last year.
What does Exhibit 10 mean? Why would you say that? Nobody knows what you meant. If I walk down the street, nobody on earth knows what that means.
So basically it means that he signed a training camp. It's kind of like one of those practice squad type of deals.
Well, he can just fire threes, and the Warriors like that, and I'm happy for him.
It allows for him to compete for a two-way spot in camp. Should he be waived before the season, the Warriors will retain his G League rights.
Thank you, Limits. That was wonderful today.
You're quite welcome. Thank you for allowing me to be wonderful today.